Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Well, greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on that American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's March 16, 2023. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin. It's always time to get out of sin. The world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. If the world loves you, then I don't see how you can be in connection with Yeshua. Did you not hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please. Make the choice for Yeshua tonight if you have not already. If you need help, call me after the program. Pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Just go to my cell phone, 316-619-4886. You know what? That cell phone is my personal cell phone. Please send me a text. Let me know that you're calling because of all the robo calls. But I give up my life to follow Yeshua. And if you need help, I'm here for you. I'll pray for you or with you. Anyway, you can always find updates with breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church and radio program archives. Find all that, contact information, how to donate, and so on and so forth. We're at, very simply, prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And some of you folks that don't want all that kind of stuff, just go to WichitaHomeless.com, WichitaHomeless.com. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, and we're simulcast on the net live internationally. It's on some independent FM stations, four different MP3 streams. It's on, let's see, Twitch, Rumble, PhoneBridge, and it's more than that. I know that we're also on Twitter live right now. We're going out on Twitter live. We're also on YouTube live right now. I left the list in my other radio program, so to speak. So we're out there, let me tell you. On another note, let's thank our listener base. It's worldwide in places like The Hague, Netherlands. Boy, those people need it over there, right? If you know anything about The Hague. Anyway, Grand Prairie, Canada, Sedona, Guyana. And, of course, the United States, such as Seattle, Washington, Des Moines, Ohio, Wheeling, West Virginia, and Hutchinson, Kansas. Last week, you were the largest group of listeners to our programs on podcast. We can't tell how many people listen live. Anyway, by the way, folks, send me a text. Let me know what city you're hailing from. And I want to say something about YouTube, or not YouTube, but Facebook. Folks, a lot of you followers of mine that follow this radio program have a YouTube, not a YouTube connection. Some of you do, yeah, YouTube, but Facebook's what I'm trying to say. And Facebook decided about a week ago to let somebody hack my, maybe they didn't allow it, but somebody hacked my account, stole my account, and Facebook acknowledged that my account was hacked and stolen, and so they said, upload my driver's license. I did that. And they said, no, you can't do it right now. Come back later. And I've got that same message for over a week. And so I don't know if I'll ever get that site back, even though I checked with them in another thing to opt out of them keeping my ID. And they said they already had 8 copies of my ID. So anyway, point is, now it's Daniel Catlin Sr. Daniel Catlin Sr. If you want to connect with me on Facebook, and I appreciate it if you do, because I'm trying to build a list of my wonderful followers back. Anyway, moving right along, let's have a prayer and bring on our guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we got Pastor Carl on with us. That's a good thing. He's a best-selling author, a senior pastor since 1987. He's a radio talk show host. He's heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV. He's a radio guest commentator. He's a former decorated law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written, I think it's 14 books now. We'll just list them. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lions Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi's Secret Message, The Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, That Predicted COVID, The Summoning, Glimpses of Glory. His newest book is the Yeshua Protocol, which we'll get some tidbits from that book in the second part of the program. But the first part of the program, I got something else great planned for you. Welcome, Pastor Carl. Are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Hey, man, I wouldn't miss it. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, I love you, brother. And, you know, love I was you. Thinking to myself before the program, my spirits was up, and I go, oh, yeah, Carl, it's a fun time. You know what I mean? I look forward to it because I always have fun with you on radio, and it's also educational. And so, you know, you're uplifting. And, you know, that's why I love to have you on, because you uplift my listeners.
Thank you. Well, the feeling's mutual. I've told my assistants that help keep me booked up on things, and then my wife handles your account more than anybody. And I tell them, anytime Pastor Dan calls, let me know, because I want to do it, because I love that guy. And again, a lot of your listeners know this, but we go all the way back to my very first book. You were, I think, the very first interview that I ever did concerning a book. And, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, amen. And you have said that before. Yeah, it was your first interview, and I remember you were in a hotel room.
Yeah, I was. You know, I was in Jasper, Alabama. I was preaching a revival up there and at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, well, you are a revival, Carl. You know, you're the good things about it, you know. And while revival, that's a good word. You know, the last time you were on, we talked about the Ashbury revival. That was very rewarding. You gave us a lot of great background, and that spirit's going on. But, you know, the Ashbury revival came out the same time this movie, the Jesus Revolution, came out. And surprisingly, a lot of people, well, what's that, you know? They don't even know what happened led to this movie. So I figured, well, I know who will know, Pastor Carl.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do. I saw the movie. And listen, you and I are probably about the same age. So I would imagine that I graduated from high school in 73. Okay, so people can figure out from there the formative years of my life. But I think, yeah, this Jesus thing broke out in the 60s, went to and through the 70s and 80s. But I can tell you, I was not in on it at a teenage level. I think I was in junior high when it all really started. But by the time I was in high school and in my young 20s, I was very still much impacted by it, because I did come to the Lord, Jesus Christ, Savior, following him in baptism, professing my faith in him, born again, when I was, I think, 16, 17, right in there. And the Jesus revolution had really impacted a lot of churches across America. It impacted the music. I was involved in a traveling youth, I don't know what it was called back then, choir or something, but we were doing that kind of Jesus music, you know, and so anyway, so it did have an impact on my life. That actual movement that was started out in California, was what not, that didn't bring me to the Lord, but I grew up in that, and I imagine you did too, huh?
Yeah, amen. Well, I'll tell the folks, I'm 67, I'll be 68 July 4th. Remember my birthday, send gifts, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm a patriotic kind of guy. But anyway, going on, yeah, I remember it very distinctively because that was the same time the you know, hippie movement, that's what it actually entailed. It spread out of the hippie movement, which was a good thing because it helped people, a lot of people, out of grunge. On the other side of that coin, there was a lot of groups and people living in communes, and there were a few of movements that were, I mean, you know, they used the Jesus movement to dupe others, such as the Children of God, which, you know, abused people, and that's another hour-long program.
Oh,
I
yeah.
knew people that got trapped in that.
Yeah.
But the Jesus movement that came out about that time was, it really did exploding, and it was a real move of the Father, I believe. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I do, and thank you for asking. I was going to ask if you had specific questions or if you just wanted me to talk generally, but yeah, listen, I agree that this was a genuine movement of the Lord. But now, listen, you and I both know there are people that would just rant and rave at what we're saying, and some people would nitpick it to pieces, and I'm not speaking of any of your listeners or people who will listen or any individual, but I don't know this generally. The Pharisees are always out there, brother. They're
yeah.
always out there. And there's nothing perfect about the church I pastor. We strive for it. We strive to be real. We're always tweaking to make sure we're in line with the Word of God. But name for me a church that's 1,000% in line with every jot and tittle of God's Word all the time, and who all of the staff are always just walking on a mountaintop of closeness to the Lord and perfection. Brother, that does not exist in this realm. But what I tell people all the time is, look, be real about your faith. Stand in the Word. Strive to, well, the Bible says it like this. Study to show yourself approved, to be a workman able to accurately handle the Word of truth. That means context, etc. So those are the things I strive for and we strive for in our church, and I think those were the things that Chuck Smith, the pastor that was the central figure in the Jesus Revolution, was striving for. Of course, Lonnie Frisbee came into his life. Greg Laurie, who's still alive and preaching and going strong, was saved and all of that, and was very close to Chuck Smith and Lonnie. And so it was a real movement. You know, these were real guys. I mean, Lonnie Frisbee has a weird background before he came to the Lord. Then he came to the Lord, was used powerfully by the Lord, then got weird again, and we can talk about the details of this in a moment, and then actually wandered away from the Lord for a while, or, you know, kind of played prodigal, then came back to the Lord, but then he died at the age of 43, bless his heart, died from AIDS, the AIDS virus, in 1993, I think it was. And he has given testimony, and a lot of his friends, Greg Laurie was close to him for a long time. Others have given testimony that he was not involved in the homosexual community, but just as bad for a person's, you know, health and body, he was involved in the sex, drugs, and rock and roll for forever before he came to the Lord. So I don't know if he was using needles and shooting up, but he said he was doing drugs, yeah. And
right.
and he was having all kind of open sex. So you know, you can get AIDS without being homosexual. You
yeah.
know, you can. And apparently he did, and then even gravitated back to some of the drugs and sex, even after he had come to the Lord and God had used him mightily. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Now, I'm not comparing Lonnie Frisbee to King David. In a side-by-side comparison. But I'm saying, there's King David, the man that wrote Psalm 23, the man that served God, the man that slew the giant, the man that was the best king Israel ever had as far as just a compassionate, godly, and at the same time a warrior. When his troops went to war, he got on the front horse, led them into battle. I mean, you know, he's the one that prayed the prayer, Lord, you know, train my hands for war. strengthen my fingers to pull back the bow. And, you know, so he's a man's man, loves the Lord, played the harp, wrote poetry, wrote praise songs, but at the same time, the whole Bathsheba affair, Bathsheba's husband, all of that mess, he went right into the pig pen, then repented remorsefully and just wept and begged for God's forgiveness. And the Lord, you know, forgave him and continued to use him, but then his own son turned against him as a result of his sin. Actually, he opened up some demonic doors. Well, I said all that to say, isn't it funny how we will exalt somebody like King David, even now in today's churches, but we look at Alani Frisbee and say, oh, he was messed up, and yeah, he came to the Lord and God used him, but then he got messed up again. And so, you know, people are out there trashing him on the internet, and I'm saying, you know what? This is one of the problems with the church today. And yeah. I'm not saying we should never wink at sin. We should never try to justify sin. But we need to be very careful about being pharisaical, overly judgmental, and unbiblically judgmental. Jesus said, by the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. And what he meant by that, he didn't say that we shouldn't kind of, you know, raise our eyebrows at a brother or sister that's maybe stepped off into muck, or it doesn't mean we shouldn't come to their aid or try to help them out of their sin. What he meant was, see, the Pharisees, they judged everybody based upon themselves. Look what we're doing for God, and if you're not doing what I'm doing for God, then God doesn't love you as much as he loves me. And Jesus said, if you judge like that, you're going to be judged in the same way. So I'm just saying, as people watch this movie, you know, I've actually read on the internet people saying, don't go see this movie. This is of the devil. Don't go see it. And I'm thinking, that sounds just like something Satan would say, or a Pharisee would say. I mean, yeah. Look, here's my assessment of the whole thing. First of all, this Jesus revolution was a piece of our history. In fact, historians have said that this was probably the greatest awakening, Christian awakening, Jesus awakening, revival, even more so than the Great Awakening, because by the time of this Jesus revolution, we had technology, you know, I mean, not right. Like we have now, but we had full-blown television, you know, full-blown facilities of you know, communication around the world, telephones and television and radio and you know, but in the Great Awakening days, we didn't have hardly any of that. So right. So this thing was the biggest, historians say, the biggest Jesus revolution, the biggest revival, the biggest awakening in the history of the United States. And that happened in our lifetimes, our historical lifetimes of the 60s and 70s. And so it impacted a lot of the ways that people do church today, you know, with praise music and worship bands and praise teams. And, you know, a lot of the Christian music industry was born from that. Prior to that, it was pick up a hymnal and sing a hymn. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love the hymns. But I'm talking about a lot of amazing music. And worship has come out of those 60s and 70s and 80s and now into the 2000s. So I'm going to stop and let you interject, and then I've got a lot more I can say if you want me to. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, we'll probably talk a little bit about it after break also, but I do want to interject a few things because there's a lot of meat here in what you said. First off, I want to say something about Lonnie Frisbee. You know, while he even preached, I double-checked it and read it again today, you know, while he did fall into the homosexual community and he was a homosexual, he still preached against it. He knew it was wrong. He preached against it, and he led a lot of people out of it into the light. And, you know, folks, we can't be so critical. I mean, you know, no way in any way, shape, or form is I saying that homosexuality is right. But I'm with you, Pastor Carl, that you say that, you know, people step off in the mud. It is so hard to walk that line. And our job is to lift people up when they get like that. Yes, we are to point out sin because, you know, otherwise everybody gets infected. But we have to do it in a loving and in a tender way. You just can't go, well, what you're doing is wrong. You're going to burn in hell. Well, we can't quite do that. You know, we have to come to them with love and compassion. Otherwise, being that in that mannerism, you're never going to lead somebody. You're never going to pull them up out of the mud. It's just not going to happen. Back to you. We got a couple of minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, you're absolutely right, brother. And our hearts are together. They always have been for a long, long time. So that doesn't surprise me. But no, you're right. And so the way I look at it, there's a balance to it, as you just beautifully expressed that balance. And I will just echo that. And that is, look, the Bible's clear. We need to help each other when we see somebody that's wandered off, wandered into the muck and the mud and the mire, seemingly gone back to the world. We need to desperately pray for them, minister to them, encourage them, confront them if God opens the door and you do it appropriately. But that same word also says do this with patience, do it with caution, lest you fall into the same trap. The bottom line is we are all still living in Satan's world. We are in a fallen domain. We are surrounded by filth and depravity and debauchery. And it is deceit and lying and truth being thrown to the ground. What is evil is called good. What is good is called evil. I mean, brother, we're getting close to the return of the Lord. I don't set dates and you don't either, but brother, we're getting close. And Satan is throwing a fit, Revelation 12:12 says. So we're in the midst of that. So more than ever, never do we wink at sin. Never do we compromise the contextual word of God. But on the other hand, we have to be very careful how we walk in this world. If we walk around with long black robes playing the part of Pharisees and you know, or holding a whip in our hand, that same judgment is going to come back on us. Plus, we're hurting the cause of Christ. And so this Jesus revolution, you know, Lonnie was used. See, Chuck Smith is really the center peg point. Not that he's perfect either, but I mean, he didn't fall off the wagon. He didn't. He stood in the Word. He was struggling for something real, something true. You know, and Lonnie Frisbee shows up on his doorstep, a repentant hippie that had come out of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, now just wanted to love the Lord Jesus with all of his heart and might. Chuck took him in, took his people in, took his friends in. It exploded their church. They started reaching people. The whole movement was born out of that. Greg Laurie, who was a part of all of that and close to Lonnie's, Chuck's family and married Chuck's daughter, I think it was, he is still now a global evangelist. He does crusades. Right. He's a pastor of a huge church. I mean, this was a movement of God. And yes, imperfect people were involved, are involved, will always be involved. So do we need to hold each other accountable lovingly? Yes. But do we need to throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater every time somebody burps wrong? No, we don't. And that's the hard work of the ministry, brother. And a lot of churches just don't want to do that. I encourage my church all the time. We've got to be real. And that means rolling up your sleeves, doing the hard work of the ministry. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty, but you keep your eyes on Jesus. I don't know if that makes sense, brother, but that's my heart.
Makes sense. We got to go to break. Tell them where they can find you, Carl, and we'll come back, and I got something else to add to this.
Okay, okay. CarlGallups.com. CarlGallups. CarlGallups.com. You can find out everything about me there. Thank you, brother.
All right. We'll be right back, folks.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back. In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house,
you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
Whether you are pre-trib, mid-trib, or pre-rath, or post-trib, whatever your position is, this book will help you to find the truth. If you're really looking for the truth about the rapture, I honestly believe you will find it in this book. It'll settle in your spirit because the truth is the Holy Spirit knows the truth about the rapture. And one of the reasons that the people other than post-trib can't seem to find peace about this is because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them that they don't have the truth. That is, until they find post-trib. But either way, this is going to help you to find the peace about the rapture. I really recommend you get it. We offer them in shrink wrap sets of 10. One for 20, 10 for 30, and 20 for 50 at prophecyclub.com. One for 20, but don't do that. 10 for 30, 20 for 50. Give you extras to give to your friends. Because once you read this one, you're going to be handing this to your pastors, to all of your Christian friends, and just ask them to read it. If they get through the first chapter, they're going to read the whole book, and they're going to love it, and it's going to help them to really find the truth about the rapture. How Pre-Trib One at prophecyclub.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Sides Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to get right back in with Pastor Carl. Just got a couple of words again about the Mission Church. Folks, this is one of the worst months we've seen in a while. We usually pull out because of income tax time, but our donations have hit the floor, as my wife said in the previous program. So she wanted me to make sure that, and I wanted to make sure that I tell you to really, really pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. You can donate online by Cash App, mail a check, or money order. Call, give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And if it's just for the Wichita Mission Church, hey, wichitahomeless.com. And pray about supporting talk radio. Okay, and now we're back with Pastor Carl. Are you there with me?
I am here, Pastor Dan. Thanks.
Okay, first off, let me address this. I got a question that popped up. And I think we ought to answer it. He says, can you guys address the difference between sin and the abomination sin of homosexual activity? The addition of abomination, is it meaningless? Well, you know, it's the type of sin. But I'll go to you first.
Yeah. Listen, okay, I've written a book called Gods of Ground Zero. It's not about homosexuality, but it's about this one huge biblical topic that wraps, that goes right to it. We read, of course, in Romans 1, this degradation that gets to the point of where God says he would give them over to deranged minds. Okay. So, but we look at that digression, and it's sexual immorality. And it winds up getting into homosexuality, men lie with men, women with women, and all that. That all goes back to the most ancient of days. It's in Leviticus. I mean, it talks about that. But now we're getting into the book of Romans, and we're shown that in the last days, this is prophetic, that this is going to be characteristic of those days. Jesus himself said the last days would be just like the days of Noah, and just like the days of Lot, of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. Now, homosexuality is not the unforgivable sin. And it can go from there. It can go to bestiality. It can go to pedophilia. I mean, it can just get nastier and nastier. The deal is, though, this is what I tell people. It goes all the way back, I believe, to the Garden of Eden, this whole sexual perversion thing. And I've got a whole book on it. I show throughout the scriptures where the scriptures, New Testament and Old Testament, speak of this and tie it to the Garden of Eden. Yes, it does. Even the Apostle Paul does. It's in the New Testament. I promise you, folks, it's there. And I've got this book to show you that. But the point is, Jesus himself said, look, here the days are going to be characterized by what happened in Noah's day and what happened in Lot's day. Okay, we pretty much know what happened in Lot's day. But what happened in Noah's day? And we run into that strange verse to so many people. I believe I know exactly what it means. I've wrote about it in Gods and Thrones. And that's Genesis 6:4. And the sons of God, that's another word. It's B'nai Elohim in Hebrew. It's another word for angels. And sons of God came unto the daughters of men and had children by them. And then, of course, it talks about the giants and the terror and God talking about the corruption of all flesh, animal and human. And he killed everything. He started it all over. So the bottom line is, regardless of how people interpret those scriptures, there was something horribly sexually perverse, probably started in and around the Garden of Eden days, moved all through the days of Noah. It involved a demonic outpouring, a demonic incursion. That said, the corruption of flesh, God destroying everything. Then we move into the Sodom and Gomorrah, and all of those Jesus points to the last days. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us, look, and here's the synopsis of it. He says, flee from sexual immorality. And by the way, that word in Greek is porneia. Flee from porneia. That's where we get our word pornography. But it doesn't mean just pornography. It means anything that is sexually perverse, sexually corrupted, outside of the way God made us and intended for us to use our sexual relationships properly and appropriately. But he says, flee from sexual immorality. He says, because all other sins are outside the body, but this one is inside your body. This one affects your whole body. And then he says, and know you not that you were bought at a price, and that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you know this? That's the holy place where God now resides in you if you are born again. So yes, the Bible does set apart sexual sin as kind of the crowning glory, if you will, and I mean that sarcastically, of all sin. Now, people might say, well, I'd rather that, you know, somebody committed sexual sin than to try to murder me or to tell a lie and ruin my life. Okay, I get all of that, but that's not the point. It's not a point of degrees of sin, like which one's worse or which one's unforgivable. It's about the fact that sexual sin goes to a person's body, mind, and soul. And somehow, even genetically and epigenetically, it can be passed on to the generations. And it can corrupt a family, a soul, a marriage, children, grandchildren. It can corrupt societies. It can corrupt churches. It is a corrupting degradation of what God created as a gift, our sexuality. Satan has thoroughly perverted it. He is continuing to pervert it. And we are the first generation in the history of the planet to see this Sodom and Gomorrah spirit, the Lot days, the days of Noah, come right into, slap into the meeting of technological advancement explosion. Now we have an internet 24/7. All the filth you can imagine is pumped out into the world, into the hands of our little children that have access to computers and or a cell phone. They can access it. And a lot of parents buy their kids cell phones. And it's filled with perversion, mind-numbing, mind-corrupting, soul-corrupting perversion. And that's what God's Word says. And I can tell you, the National Institute of Health have published several papers over the last 10 years. I've read them from my pulpit to my people all the time. The NIH talks about we have an epidemic of mental disease. That's their word. In the world, an epidemic, they call it. And they say we don't know, and I'm just giving a synopsis now. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what they say. We don't know how to deal with it. It's causing depression. It's causing suicide. It's causing mental psychosis. It's tearing apart families. It's tearing apart nations, societies, homes, generations. This is what the National Institute of Health says. Well, when did all of that? It coincides pretty much with the explosion of instantaneous communication information systems, the internet, and everything else. Now, I am not a hater of technology. I use technology all the time. I love technology. I'm a techno geek in many ways, and I don't want to get into that because this is not about me. But I'm just saying, I don't want you to think I'm some old man sitting up here saying, if it's technology, it's evil. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it can be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've got to be careful how we handle the times we're living in. So I say to people, yes, any kind of sexual perversion. I mean, listen, adultery, a serial adulterer. Don't even have to be serial, but if you're a serial adulterer, a fornicator, what does that mean? Living with someone, having sex with multiple people or one person before marriage and just living like an animal, God's word says, that is sexual perversion. The word of God says, and so do psychiatrists and psychologists that deal in this, that there is a kind of a downward spiral to all of this. You might start off with pornography. From there, if you're married, a woman or a man, you could slip into adultery. Right. From there, a marriage could break up. From there, you might slip into fornication and have multiple partners. And just from there, you might experiment with homosexuality. From there, you might even get into bestiality or pedophilia. I mean, we see these things all the time. We know they happen like this. And listen, I went to death row. And I actually visited in a law enforcement capacity with Ted Bundy on death row.
Wow.
I mean, face to face in Union Correctional Institute in Florida on the death row. I actually went right to his cell, and it was a matter of business. And I'm not going to get into all that right now. I don't even know if I'm really allowed to get into the details of it because it was a matter of official business. But I was actually there with him, talking to him. And now his biographies are out, and people, we've written stories and done movies. We know that he started with an addiction to pornography. I think he was 8 or 9 or 10 years old. And then there was abuse in his family. The next thing you know, he sinks all the way down to any kind of sexual perversion you can think of, including mass murder, homicide that goes with it. Now, I'm telling your audience, by the time we get to Revelation, and God's wrath is being poured out on the planet, and it says, and they still did not repent of, and this is what it says in the English, their sorcery and their sexual immorality. Now, the word sorcery in Greek comes from the word pharmakeia, where we get our word pharmaceuticals and pharmacy. So it means what Lonnie Frisbee and those guys were in, and a lot of your listeners and some of us dabbled in it. It means elixirs, potions, drugs, synthetically produced and or, you know, opioids and opium. I mean, you know, hallucinogenics, psychedelics, all of that. A lot of that comes from plant-based stuff, but then, of course, it's created in laboratories now. So all of that, that's what pharmakeia means, the illicit use of drugs. And in the Greek dictionary, it literally says, back in the day of Jesus, it was used to open up the dimensions, to communicate with the gods, the little g, or the angels, or the spirit guides. I mean, it was demonic, and it was to open up portals to the demonic. And the Bible says in the very, very, very last days, even while people are seeing that we're getting closer, this is going to be one of the prevailing sins because it opens up the demonic realm. And then it says, sorcery, which is pharmakeia, and sexual immorality in English, but that means, it comes from porneia, which it means just a degradation of our sexuality to the bottomless pit of that. And so I tell people, no, if I'm ministering to a homosexual, I don't think they're unredeemable. I don't think they're unforgivable. I don't think they've hit the unforgivable sin. I don't think they've hit a sin, that particular sin, is not the worst of all sins. I'm just telling you, in the general umbrella, God's word says, when you get into sexual sin, you're connecting yourself all the way back to the Garden of Eden days, all the way back to the days of Noah, all the way back to God's judgment being poured out on the whole world, and you're coming right into the book of Revelation declaring that that is the main sin of the last days, and right into the words of Jesus saying it's going to be just like the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, all over the world. Now, not just in little places or big cities or certain countries, but all over the world. Brother, we're looking at it. We're staring at it in the face. It is now here. So this is why I stand so hard against sexual sin. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate transsexuals. I don't hate fornicators and adulterers. My heart breaks because I know what they're caught up in. They're caught up in the last day's deception, and they're ruining their bodies, their minds. Some of them, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their churches, their communities, and you're getting sucked right into to Satan's lie. And so, back to God's word. Flee, therefore, from sexual immorality, because all other sins are outside our bodies. That doesn't mean that we're free to go into other sins. It's just making this comparison. And it says, but this sin is against your own body, and that means your mind and your soul as well. And know you not that you are the temple of God, and that your body was bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. So that's what I tell people. That's the biblical balance, brother.
Well, amen. I got a couple of things to say, but the first thing I want to say is I'm glad the question was asked, and I didn't know that we would go into this in this program, but this is highly important. What you just said about it, everything is true, and I agree with. I just want to address one further thing with this person. You know, in no way, shape, or form are we giving any kind of free pass to any kind of sin, let alone to something that's labeled as an abomination. But as Pastor Carl said, and if you didn't understand his simple words, it simply is like this. Just because they're in that sin, it doesn't mean they're reprobate. That don't mean that we cast them off. We are supposed to try and bring them back. Some people you can't. Some people you do have to walk away from. In fact, Yeshua says, don't cast your pearls to swine. But we are, especially us as pastors, we are supposed to try to pull these people out of the mud. And just for the love of Yeshua, we have to do that, as should any believer.
Yes.
But, you know, the big problem is I see people getting, you know, sucked into it when they try to witness because they're just not equipped. But,
yes.
Amen. You addressed this wonderfully.
Well, thank you. Can I address that word abomination?
Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you, because that he mentioned that, or he or she, whoever it was, and I forgot. I mean, I kind of left that word out. I talked all around it, and I wasn't meaning to. I wasn't meaning to leave it out. But, no, that word abomination means, and I'm just going to break it down into exact, it means this is something that goes all the way back to the beginning, and it was Satan's spit in my face, says the Lord. It broke my heart. This is an abomination. This is what started it all off. And maybe not homosexuality, but this whole degradation of the sexuality of who we are and why God created it. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, enjoy man and wife, man and woman, given in marriage. Enjoy this. It's the glue that holds marriage together. It's the thing that fills the earth. It's the thing that lifts up and exalts humanity when it's used the way God intended. It was God's gift to us. God invented sex. He invented sexuality. He invented it. One of the main reasons is so that we could actually experience making another human being in our own image. I mean, we get to participate and get a feeling of what God felt. When God just breathed, took his hands and, you know, formed us by the dust and the clay, breathed into it and a living soul. And then he says, but I'm going to let this living soul know how much I love them. I'm going to let them experience the ecstasy of just creating life. And so we can't create it like God does. We're not God, and we're not even little gods. But we are created in his image. Not only does he give us pieces of him, like the ability to communicate, to write, to speak, to pass on generational knowledge, but also to create with our hands. Something starts in our mind, and the next thing you know, we've built it. And so what happened? We created something from our mind. Now we had to work. We had to mold it, craft it, shape it, but we did. But we can also, in a marriage union with a spouse that we love, we can create in our own image. And God says, now, when that child comes, the love you have, that you would lay your life down for that child, that's the love I have for humanity. And I laid my life down in my son, Yeshua. When you look upon me on that day, whom you have pierced, Zechariah 12 says, and mourn for him as an only son, then you will know. So this is the whole sexuality thing was God's gift from the beginning to say something about him, to say something about us, to say something about the world and how this thing was going to go forward. Satan has perverted it to the point of the whole thing becoming an abomination unto God. It's the stench of the degradation of it rises to his nostrils, and it breaks his heart, and Satan knows it. So that's why that's called an abomination. So you take murder, for example. I don't think it's called abomination, but boy, it's, you know, thou shalt not murder, and you'll right. be held accountable for the blood, et cetera, et cetera. But so what's the difference? So murder is not an abomination, but sexuality or homosexuality is? Well, no, it's all an abomination. The whole fallen nature comes from whatever happened in the garden to whatever happened all during Noah's day to where we're living now. But a bunch of that, it maybe even began with some kind of sexual perversion. And now look at our world, brother. What's the number one, which is call it sin, and it's not homosexuality, but it's sexual perversion, driven now by technology and porn. I mean, look, they'll invent artificial intelligence, then they'll invent robots, and then they'll invent artificial intelligence in a robot. And what do all the scientists now say? I know what. Let's have sex with it. Let's make sex robots. I mean, the whole world is driven by this perversion of sexuality. That's why God calls it an abomination. He doesn't necessarily call a person who's in that sin an abomination, but he calls that sin an abomination, and that's the reason why. Does that make sense?
It makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah, very well put, very well put. And I get it, and I totally agree with you. I never really did the connection, I mean, in my heart. Now, I understood everything that you said. I just never really connected it back like you did to the Garden of Eden like that, but you're absolutely right. It all started in the garden, and it all started, it did, it and all of this.
And that's what Satan...
Wonderfully, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you, brother. It's just a slight delay, and it sounded like I wasn't trying to be rude. But no, something happened in the Garden of Eden. Get in my book, Gods of Ground Zero. It connects all the scriptures all the way to the book of Revelation and all the way through the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is spoken of and directly connected back to the garden. I promise you it is.
Yeah,
but
it
when you read, and when you read that, I don't say what it was because the Bible doesn't say. But we know that somehow sexual perversion was ubiquitous in the days of Noah, and it appears the connections are made that it goes somehow back to either the garden itself or something right after the Garden of Eden experience and the fall. And from there, it went rampant. And here we are today, in the days before the coming of the Lord, technology has exploded, 24/7 information communication, little children getting hooked on sexual perversion in their childhood, some of them being transitioned by their school teachers, conditioning them. Brother, where are we? Has the world gone mad? Yes. Is it going out of its mind? Yes. Even our experts tell us it is a global epidemic of mental disease, their words. Where's this coming from? It's the global outpouring of the demonic realm in the last days, and it centers around sex and perversion.
Yeah, I agree totally. That's what all this garbage is that's out there. And, you know, and it is. It's sex with everything. Sex with animals. Sex with screen. Sex. And it is. And it's an abomination. And I get how most of it all does lead to, I mean, amen.
All
you know what? Sitting here thinking about it and thinking about your books, you know, all that you've written comes screaming back at me that it's just that, duh, that's what you've been saying all along, you know, and putting in a better pretext. So, yeah, amen. We only got about 2 minutes, Carl. you know, I just want to say this. You know, the Yeshua Protocol, and next time we're going to talk about this, but I just want to tell you where I was going to go today. I was going to go to the Book of Life and the Divine Watermark, but, you know, we don't even have time to breathe that. Tell them where they can find all your stuff, and I'm going to have to get out of here.
Okay, carlgallops.com, and while you're there, you click on the link to my latest book, Yeshua Protocol. You can read the first 63 pages. You can see images out of it. You can read the endorsements, the front cover, back cover, and that'll give you an idea. You can order directly from me or anywhere good books are sold, carlgallops.com.
All right, thanks for being on with me, brother. I love you. We'll talk again.
I love you,
best.
Thanks for having me, brother. God bless.
Yeah, amen. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. And again, in just a little short reiteration, we're not giving any kind of sin, you know, a free pass. Yeah, we are called to witness to them. The word of the Father says that. How shall they know unless the preacher preach it to them? That don't mean everybody is equipped to be able to do it, because you need to be very careful, because if you don't do it correctly, they can actually change your mind. So be careful out there. And we are in the time of the end. I really do need to ask you tonight, you need to pray about supporting Messiah's Branch. I really could use a PayPal donation. This is the worst March we've seen in a while. Usually we're pulled out of this by everybody's income tax, but so many of our supporters and different people, you know, have just simply died and, you know, have disappeared. And it's not because of lack of support, it's just that they've disappeared. So support us so we can care for the people the Father sends us, men, women, and children from all walks of life, men and women and children. Pray about it. We really need your help. You can donate online, Cash App, Mail Check, or Money Order, PayPal. Give a donation over the phone. Find everything at prophecyhour.com. But we must remember, folks, that there really, really, really is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. And remember, folks, Passover's coming. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father. Father, please, please, bless and keep them, and let your face shine upon them, and be gracious to them, please, Father. And give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 668. 5-1. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.